Hello, this is Rita Schulte, and I'll be reading the Friday, November 29th Decatur Herald and Review with you this morning. The first article on page one is headlined, Keys to Small Business Success, Adapting to Change, Connection to Community Important. Bring it on. That's the attitude of Ryan and Chrissy Spurlock have when it comes to the Christmas shopping season, which has been shortened by 8 days this year because of Thanksgiving being celebrated so late. Christmas shopping has always gone into fifth gear in the period after Thanksgiving, said Ryan, co-owner of the Brass Horn and the Brass Horn 2 in downtown Decatur. This year will be good, but I think it will be more hectic because customers won't have as much time to get everything done like they've had in past couple of years. His wife, Chrissy, is the owner of Giggles, also in downtown Decatur. A week doesn't sound like a long time, but it is when you're in full Christmas mode, she said. The Spurlocks believe local retailers armed with products selected to meet the tastes of the communities they serve and solid customer service will hold their own against the large retailers and the growing reach of the internet. There's some things you can't find in town. We understand that, Chrissy said. But you can come downtown, walk into a store, see it, feel it, have a nice conversation face to face, and walk out with exactly what you want. They aren't alone in their optimism for the Christmas season and beyond. Robert Carr is president and CEO of the Illinois Merchants Association. During a recent Decatur Regional Chamber of Commerce business breakfast, Carr addressed some of the myths surrounding the retail industry. Two of the biggest myths, he said, were that brick-and-mortar stores are dying and that online retailers are the primary culprit. We are clearly seeing closures, Carr said, which he attributed to companies being over-leveraged and there being too many locations selling the same things. Face it, you can only support so much retail, he said. Some right-sizing is going on, but we are clearly not dying. He added that for each company closing stores nationally in the last year, 5.4 companies are opening stores. In all, he said, 3,835 more stores opened last year than closed. Carr added, the gap between traditional retailers and online retailers is lessening. Online retailers, he said, are beginning to establish fixed locations from which to service their customers, either on their own or through agreements with brick-and-mortar retailers. At the same time, brick-and-mortar retailers are using technology to enhance the customer experience. Carr said 84% of shoppers will turn to their mobile device when shopping, which prompted him to pose the question, which generation spends the most time online? The answer, baby boomers. Carr said that they're the group with the most available time and money, using technology to comparison shop and read product reviews before making their purchases. Carr said baby boomer and Gen X born in 1995 and after, Gen Z born in 1995 and after, are by far the largest consumers of online content, and over half of them are expected to make purchases at brick-and-mortar locations. The National Retail Federation is estimating shoppers will spend $730 billion this holiday season, a 3.8% to 4.2% increase over last year. He described the estimate as robust, but added it's a bit lower than what was realized last holiday season. Each of us has the power to decide where to spend our dollars, Chamber President Marinda Rothrock said. When we choose local, we are helping to employ our friends, family, and neighbors. It is estimated that for every dollar spent at a small business, 67 cents stays in the local community. Supporting our local small businesses makes a major economic impact and allows those businesses to give back to our community, said Mark Avery, leader of the Chamber's Small Business Executive Council. To highlight the importance of local retailers, the Chamber is once again supporting Small Business Saturday, held each year on the Saturday after Thanksgiving since 2010. The idea behind Small Business Saturday, also referred to as Shop Small, is to get people who are in the shopping mood to veer off the beaten path a bit and give their local smaller retailers a look. Obviously, service is going to be at the top of our list of why you should be shopping local. Because we can afford services that you can't get other places, Ryan said, noting he and co-owner George Streckfus have 50 years of combined experience in the clothing business. This is our livelihood. It isn't a hobby, Ryan said, adding they have navigated many changes over the years. Change has to happen when you have to evolve, he said. 20 years ago, we would have significantly had more suits, shirts, and ties in our store. With the business casual revolution, we've had to adapt our inventory to what people are wearing today. There's been a lot of retailers who didn't see that and adapt like we have, and they had to close their doors. Spurlock and Streckfus also took advantage of a neighboring building becoming available to create the Brass Horn 2, specializing in quality women's clothing, gourmet food items, and specialty gifts. Change is something Chrissy has embraced at Giggles as well. The business is celebrating a year in its new, larger location on Merchant Street. The new location includes a bakery, which is proving beneficial in its efforts to attract new customers, especially family members of Millikan University students. After posting a picture of a huge cookie cake with a big M on its Facebook and Instagram account, which was shared by Millikan, some 20 orders from Millikan parents arrived within days via its exchange website, Chrissy said. One of the customers was the mother of a theater major from Massachusetts who ordered cookies for the cast before a production. Mother called Chrissy to offer a personal thanks, wishing the bakery would have been available years earlier. Her daughter is a senior, and joked if she had considered providing floral services. Retail, as it used to be, is not ever going to be the same. It's never going to be the way it was when people just opened up shops and had success, Ryan said. It takes a lot of time and investment and patience, I guess, to be able to weather the storm, to get the word out there, so that people know what you're about, that you're what you're doing. So for us, the holidays are a fun yet stressful time. And another article on page one of the Decatur Herald is headlined, Woman, Family, Find Ever After. 5 Grandchildren Adopted After Long Legal Process by Kennedy Nolan. A long, difficult process fueled by hope and faith met a sweet end as Jackie Dannenberger's 5 grandchildren rushed into her arms, laughing as they embraced the woman who fought for years to adopt them. Macon County Judge Thomas Little signed the judgment order for adoption on Tuesday afternoon, capping a journey that began in June 2016 when Dannenberger began caring for the children, 10-year-old Isla, 9-year-old Michael, 7-year-old Zoe, 6-year-old Rosalind, and 5-year-old Nathaniel. Dannenberger described the past years as emotional but full of growth. This truly took a village for us to have this day, she said, acknowledging family, friends, church family, and teachers in the courtroom. Dannenberger directed the close of her speech to the children, concluding with Isla's favorite words, never give up. The hearing gave the family a new starting point and long-awaited family ever after celebration, which will continue Sunday during a celebration of Lampstand at Lampstand Church. The siblings came to Dannenberg's Decatur home as a foster placement through the Department of Children and Family Services. They arrived with few possessions, she said. Despite the upcoming challenge, Dannenberger said she knew she needed to fight for the children. I literally spent hours holding and holding and holding them tight, she said. I am giving my whole self to my grandbabies, and I don't regret any of it. Essentially becoming a single mother to 5 small children overnight, Dannenberger was overwhelmed at first. Her friends and church family were eager to offer support, offer to babysit for 4 weeks to get the children before the children could get into a daycare program. Caseworkers with DCFS and the Macon County Court-Appointed Special Advocates, CASA, helped Dannenberger throughout the legal process and treated her like a friend, she said. The siblings have come a long way. They attend St. Patrick's School in Decatur, where they have support. Principal Nick Blackburn and the Reverend John Burnett, the parish priest, sat in the courtroom Tuesday. They've been through a lot of turmoil, Blackburn said. It's great they can have something stable at school, and now something stable at home with Jackie. It's amazing. Dannenberger said the siblings have grown into tightly bonded smart children who have a strong love for each other, Dannenberger said. She can see the progress when she looks at old photos comparing the images to the children she sees now. We have a lot to be thankful for. Speaking in court, 9-year-old Michael shared what he was thankful for, which included people who care about him and his siblings, church family, friends, school, and education, life, and Mima, a nickname the five siblings call Jackie. Michael is a survivor of clear cell sarcoma of the kidney, a rare type of childhood cancer, and has been cancer-free for 6 years. I am thankful for life, he said. I'm a miracle because I survived cancer. The Dannenbergers will celebrate their family ever after at the church on Sunday, an event custom-made for the children. Their favorite foods, tacos and sundaes, will be served. The children chose the outfits they will wear, the songs they will sing, and photos they want displayed during the service. The Reverend John Morthland of Lampstead Church said the children's story could have become a tragic one if not for Dannenberger. Instead, he said the situation turned out to be a miracle of God. I've been blessed to be involved since day one with this family, Morthland said. The family drew on their own experience to create the Lollipop Closet, a charitable organization run through the Decatur Church. The effort collects new backpacks to fill with pajamas, socks, underwear, biblical scripture, and a lollipop. The items are packed and given to DCFS to provide to children in the system. I want them to give back from what they have endured, she said. They're always wanting to give something to people. They came with nothing, and they were thrilled to have little things that other people don't think about. The siblings chose the name because lollipops make them happy, Dannenberger said. Knowing she's having a positive impact on the children's lives and introducing them to new opportunities have proven very rewarding, Dannenberger said. We're just blessed in so many ways, she said. It's not what we don't have, it's everything. I mean, we have gained so much, and they are doing so well. And this one, also from the front pages, its headline is Eye on Championship. Morrell in 27th year as assistant coach at Central A&M. Coaching football started as a way of started as a way for Doug Morrell to stay connected with the sport after graduating from Moequa High School. He loved the back and forth of the mental game with an opponent and the competitive drive of the sport he had played for his entire life. Coaching was the closest he could get to his playing days, which ended when he graduated high school in 1989. His high school coach, Mark Ramsey, kept him around as an assistant who was a, quote, glorified manager, end quote, in 1990 and 91. That job was just fine for Morrell. It was a way for him to get his foot just enough inside the coaching door to fulfill his passion. He just didn't expect how long that door would stay open. In 1992, Morrell found a way to balance his moonlighting gig as an offensive line coach with his day job at ADM and hasn't looked back. He's been an assistant at Central A&M for 27 years on a continual basis, first under Ramsey, who is now the head coach at St. Teresa, then under Nate Graham for 2 years, and finally under current head coach Brent Weekly, who Morrell coached in high school. It's definitely an honor, Morrell said. It's a gift from God for them, the district, the administration, and Coach Weekly to allow me to have an influence, to show them right from wrong, to talk to them and be there for them when they have other questions. There's a lot that takes place that isn't about X's and O's. It's about life. At 10 a.m. Friday, Morrell will complete his state football venue trifecta when A&M plays Lena Winslow in the Class 1A state championship at Husky Stadium in DeKalb, and it will be Morrell's sixth state championship game as assistant coach, previously making stops at Memorial Stadium in Champaign and at Hancock Stadium on the campus of Illinois State University. In 27 years and counting as a coach, Morrell's reason for coaching has undergone a seismic shift. It's not all about the competition and the game plan anymore, though those things still matter. Our job here, I feel like, is that we're not trying to send kids to the NFL, Morrell said. We don't have Division I kids. We have kids who are going to graduate, and we want them to be good kids in the community as men, and they're going to grow up as fathers. You can learn a lot from football, and that's kind of the goal for me, is to be that guy to help them out, to make them grow and be better men. When Weekly took the job in 2015, the first call he made was to Morrell to make sure he wanted to stay on as an assistant. The foundation of a football program is the strength of offensive and defensive line coaches, Weekly said, and that's Morrell's expertise. Calling the man who used to coach him when he was a tight end and a linebacker at Central A&M was a no-brainer. Morrell has a way of teaching the game in a way that's understandable to his players. He did when Weekly was a player, and he does now. He's a calming voice for Weekly on game days and oftentimes one of the last voices the players hear before taking the field. He talks to them about life, about his job and his family. The players matter to him as much as he matters to them. He would still do anything for those kids, Weekly said. If they ever needed a car ride or jumped or whatever, he's that guy to do it. He's a truly special man and we're truly blessed to have him. Things have changed a little bit in 27 years. Morrell, now 48 years old, pulls up a bucket with a seat on it at times in the summer during particularly long practices. It's part rest and part seeing his players from a different vantage point. He came up under Ramsey in a running heavy wing tee offense. When Weekly came in with a spread offense, Morrell had to seek input from other coaches to help himself evolve as a coach. It's the little nuggets of details and wisdom that he learns and in turn imparts on his players that gives him so much cachet in the program and around the area. He's my favorite coach out there, lineman Jesse Maples said. He's incredibly smart. He's one of the guys on the coaching staff that every player respects. He's been around for the entire ride that A&M's gone through. He was here for the bad times, the good times, and it's great to have a dude like him on the coaching staff that everyone respects so much. Morrell was on the staff in 1992 when the program advanced to its first state championship game and finished runner-up. He was there from 1995 to 1997 for three straight appearances in the championship game, with the crowning moment coming in 1997 with a state championship. When Weekly was on the state runner-up team in 2001, Morrell was there. There were more challenging times, the season that ended with an early exit in the postseason or losing records and missed postseason berths altogether. His experience and longevity carry weight. He means a ton, quarterback Connor Heaton said. He's been coaching since the dynasty in the early 1990s. He just does a great job year in and year out with our line. He's a big motivator. He gets us together before every game, gives us a little speech, and gets us going for sure. He's one of the most well-respected coaches on our staff, and definitely in the area. I like looking up to him. Morrell's time with the program is as much about the on-field success and growth of his players as it is about his own personal growth. He's no longer the 20-something coach who was on a staff that led the Raiders to three straight championship games. He'll admit there were times years ago that he let that success get to him a little bit, but his perspective has shifted. Some of that comes with age and coaching his own son, Reed Morrell, and having his youngest son, Cooper Morrell, as team manager this year. You get a little older and you start realizing that it's about the kids, Morrell said. You see it all. It's enjoyable. This championship game is just as enjoyable as the first one. Things do change, but kids are the same. They still want the same thing. To see them grow and advance and get where they want is the most enjoyable thing. And on page 3 of the Decatur Herald is a story headlined "Police Man Arrested on Battery Charge" by Tony Reed. A Decatur man who authorities say kept his wife prisoner in a moving vehicle, then picked her up and carried her inside their home to prevent her from running away, was arrested and jailed, according to the police. A sworn affidavit from Decatur police said the incident happened about 9:40 p.m. Tuesday as the couple got into an argument while they and their sons, aged 4 and 2, were driving away from their home in the 2400 block of East Main Street. Decatur police officer Clinton Babb said the 27-year-old wife told him her 33-year-old husband kept driving as she tried to escape from the car. He then blocked her from leaving two more times, grabbing a handful of her hair and her left arm, inflicting pain, to stop her from escaping. She stated he then drove her back to their home, said Babb. she advised. When she attempted to leave on foot, he picked her up and carried her back inside the residence. She stated once inside, he told her she was not going to leave. Police were called and the husband was put under arrest by 10:24 p.m. Babb said he spoke to the man who had been married for 3 years and he admitted to holding his wife against her will and said he had wrapped her up to carry her inside their home. The husband was booked on a preliminary charge of committing domestic battery while having a prior domestic battery conviction. All preliminary charges are subject to review by the state's attorney's office. Macon County jail records show he is free after posting $10,000 bond. Prosecutors had asked for $20,000. Bond conditions state he must stay away from both his wife and their home. Another article on page 3 is headlined Hockey Game Aimed to Raise $15,000 by Allison Petty. Former players from Decatur Youth Hockey Association will come together to lace up their skates this weekend in hopes of raising $15,000 for the American Cancer Society. The alumni charity games will be 4 p.m. for the senior game and 6:30 p.m. for the junior game on Saturday, November 30th at the Decatur Civic Center, 1 Gary K. Anderson Plaza. Administration is a minimum $5 donation. The association's alumni will come from multiple states, including South Carolina, Maryland, Virginia, and Minnesota, to take part in the event. The Associated said in a statement, players will range in age, with the most seasoned at 61 years old. Food and beverages, including alcohol, will be sold during the game. A variety of silent and live auction items will be available, including tickets to St. Louis Blues and St. Louis Cardinals games. Over the past 3 years, the association has raised more than $62,000 for the American Cancer Society and $5,000 for its own youth scholarship program. And it has donated about 12 boxes of toys to Salvation Army Toys for Tots campaign. Tickets can be purchased in advance from 3:15 p.m. to 5:15 p.m. Friday, November 29th at the Civic Center. And here's another article with the headline, Tradition of Service Carries On, by Garrett Karsten. Vinnie Barbie said he could have stopped serving warm Thanksgiving meals to the homeless a long time ago, but community needs keeps him going. You see their eyes and their face. They're happy, said Barbie, 60. Thanksgiving is a day you don't want to be by yourself. Thanks to Barbie and his wife, Deborah, their tradition of providing the homeless with a warm meal and a place of commonwealth was continued Thursday at the Water Street Mission Ministry building, 758 North Water Street. Volunteers from around the community, like Decatur resident Kathy Davis, 60, also made the day possible by serving food, restocking drinks, and visiting those receiving a meal. Davis, a longtime friend of Vinnie Barbie's, spent the afternoon volunteering as a family with husband Steve, 64, and their 9-year-old grandson Jack. We hope to serve a lot of people, and they get a nice Thanksgiving meal, she said. The total number of volunteers, 16, about doubled the number that helped last year, Vinnie Barbie said. They could be at home, but they come here to help, he said. That shows the people have in their heart. They want to come out and contribute their time. Food served was smoked turkey, which Barbie said took 13 hours to prepare, covered in dressing and complemented by macaroni and cheese, green beans, and his famous sweet potato. Apple, blueberry, pecan, pumpkin pie, and cookies made up the dessert spread. The food is similar to what Barbie served at Vinnie's Barbecue restaurant in Forsyth. He and his wife have since retired from the restaurant business in 2012, but continue to run catering services, said Barbie. Each year, cookies are donated by the Cookie Man, who continues to remain anonymous. He also donates when food is served to the homeless on Easter and the annual block party along Water Street. What we do here reflects on what we could do in the future, Barbie said. People need help, and I repeat all the time, this is my community and my friends that I call home. I call Water Street my home. Water Street Mission is a men's homeless shelter that serves around 25 people a day, hosts evening church services, and provides about 7,000 meals each year. The building is a place of refuge for homeless men looking to get back on their feet, according to Brian Connerty, shelter manager. He expressed much gratitude in getting meals every Thanksgiving, especially seeing the need in those served at the Water Street Mission. There's so many people you can't see that don't have a place to go, or maybe they don't have a family, said Connerty. Down here, this is their family, where they can feel love, and that's why we do it. And an article by Danette Beckett headlined, Debo's Under Expansion, Jasper Street Location to Focus on Seafood, by Danette Beckett. Debo's In and Out Fish will open to the public Monday, December 2nd at 130 South Jasper Street in Decatur. Owner Daryl Holloway said the new business will focus on seafood items such as tilapia, fried lobster bites, perch, catfish fillets, and catfish steaks. Dishes are fried or grilled. Rice bowls with additions will also be served. Seasonings include jerk sauce, other unique flavors. Lunch specials will start at $7.99 and include a main dish, a side, and a drink. And buffalo and my father's famous cheeseburgers, he said, about the difference in the menu. Regular restaurant hours will be 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. Monday through Friday and 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. on Saturdays. The business will be closed on Sundays. The staff may remain open for later hours on special occasions. Cash or debit cards will be accepted. Holloway opened a restaurant specializing in chicken and waffles in the Mountford Plaza on Woodford Street at the beginning of the year. The success of the Northside restaurant encouraged him to expand his business and menu to include some of his own favorite recipes. They have their flavor with special seasonings, Holloway said. Holloway opened the Jasper Street restaurant in July to include chicken and waffles in hopes of reaching customers at the south end of Decatur. He has now decided to change the menu to gain more customers, and the famous chicken and waffles won't be available on Jasper Street. Seafood will be the highlight of that restaurant. Along with the new entrees, the menu will have popular side dishes such as coleslaw, French fries, hush puppies, spaghetti, and potato salad. The dessert menu is still being planned. A children's menu, including chicken strips, will also be available. Holloway understands customers may still want the chicken and waffles. They can drive out north, he said. This has been Rita Schulte, and I've been reading with you the Decatur Herald and Review for Friday, November 29th. This is the end of part one. We'll take a brief break right now and come back in a little bit with part two of the Decatur Herald and Review. Please stay by.